I love Siri. Everybody know who Siri is? My little friend on my phone. When I ask her questions. And what I found out today is that the speed that the Earth moves is 1,040.4 miles an hour, which makes sense considering the Earth is approximately $25,000 around the what did I say?
Dollars?
Miles. 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 So sorry. Glad somebody's awake. So it makes sense that it's about 1,000 miles an hour. That just makes sense. That's logical. So the Earth itself is pretty fast, right? That's a pretty fast speed. And then what's happened over time, we have sped things up through technology. From the time when we stopped handwriting copies of things to the first printing machine, which I think was the Gutenberg. Is that right? The Gutenberg printing machine. That suddenly sped up how we were communicating. And then we weren't satisfied with that, so we did other things. You know, first we had a chariot, right? Then we had the horse and buggy. Then we had the horseless buggy. And then we had the car and the motorcycle, and you know, we keep speeding things up. And then we want to fly coast to coast, so we sped it up again. And then we still weren't happy, so we started with the telegraph, and then we went to the telephone, but that wasn't enough. So we wanted to get to each other faster, so we put these little things that we used to call pagers. What happened to all those pages that ever got created? They're probably landfill somewhere, right? And so we put the pagers on our thing, and we thought, oh, man, now we've arrived. You know, we had codes. We had ways of putting numbers in. You could say hello and turn it upside down. Remember that? So we had pagers, and then, oh, Lord have mercy. Then we really went to hell in a handbasket with cell phones. Now you are never free, you are never disconnected, you can never have an excuse for anything. And if that wasn't worse, to make it even worse, we put email on our phone, because email was the other thing. I don't know about you, I love technology, and the truth is I love how we have moved toward this, and every once in a while I want to unplug from everything. I want to shut off my phone, take out my battery, take my phone off the hook at home, disconnect my email, and just be. You know what I'm talking about? But we've sped up creativity. The demands that come with this speed are huge. The expectations are huge. The stress is huge. I had an email the other day on that, because, you know, some of you know, I'm on the minister's council now, and so we're trying to arrange our first telemeeting. Now we don't just want to talk to each other, we got to see each other, so we have that too going on, which kind of, that's a little bit better. At least it keeps my attention a little bit more, although I can't sit still, you know, so I'm in the telephone I'm on the video screen, I'm like this, I'm yakking. Okay, so I get sent an email that it's a survey to find out our availability so we could bring the people of the council together to have a meeting. I got it, I don't know, maybe on like Thursday in the afternoon. By Thursday night, I got a text. I don't mean a nudge, but can you? And I'm like, expletives. In my own space, alone. I'm like, man, you just sent me the damn email. What if you had sent that snail mail? What if you had just tried to call me up? The demands we have been placed upon us, the demands we place upon each other, and I am guilty of this. I am guilty of an expectation that comes with speed. I am guilty. But the pressure and the stress of this is a lot, and I know that some of you feel it, and some of you are conscious to it. However, some of you might not be that conscious. You just feel this like kind of low. It's like having a low grade fever. It's like a low grade constant pressure that's there to answer, to get back, to answer, to get back, to answer. And those of you in corporations, oh Lord, it must be really difficult. or those of you in very high-end jobs where it's really especially demanding. You think with what I do that I would have a very low-key experience, right? It's crazy that I'm actually talking about this. But I'm talking about this for a purpose. Because, well, let's put that aside for a minute. So I've established the fact that we have stress and pressure from speed and expectation, right? Now, one should imagine for a moment, and I've talked about this before, you remember, for those of you who are old enough to remember, merry-go-rounds that were on in the playground, not the ones with the horses, not that, but the low ones, right? They look like a wagon wheel turned on their side, and they're made with bars, and you sit on them, and then someone on the outside's doing this as fast as they can, you know, to try to get everybody to go flying off, right? And so what happens is, and everybody, you're there, and the little kids are all holding on. I made the mistake at one time taking my son and his friend to do that right after they had eaten something blue. Not good. Whatever was blue was all over the place. Not good. It's the truth. Oops. Sorry. So in the merry-go-round, though, if you're on the edge and you have that speed, you're holding on for dear life. And what you don't realize is that the speed of what's going on around you, you're holding on for dear life, except you don't have the physical bars to hold on to. The smart person sits where? In the middle. The smart person sits there. And they are moving. But they're moving with a certain ease and grace. And they're just kind of watching everybody else who's holding on for dear life. Because the middle is steady. The middle is still. It's grounded. When my son Seth was about 3 years old, we were driving up to, I think we were on Route 15 or 206, going up to visit my family. And he was small enough, he was still in a car seat, but still little, maybe like three-ish. And he's in the back seat, and it was the fall, and the foliage was beautiful. And I'm always pointing out nature to my sons. Sometimes I call them up and say, "You see the moon? The moon is full, right?" And so I said, "Seth, oh, honey, look at the leaves. Look at how beautiful the leaves are." Now remember, I'm in my car looking forward, and I can see the leaves as they're coming at me. Now, the poor little baby, he goes like this. He turns his head, and he sees this. Where, Mommy? Where are the leaves? Because he's caught up in the speed. All right, am I making my point here? Depending upon where and how you position yourself, you are not necessarily positioning yourself in a way in which you can align yourself with the steady ground that is necessary for you to create. You cannot create in a state of chaos. You cannot create in busyness and a lot of disconnected thoughts and ideas. That is why we teach, and that is why I try to drive the point home here on a regular basis. Prayer, meditation, visioning. Prayer, meditation, visioning, because these things pull you to the center ground, where then when an idea that comes up from that inspired place comes up, you are grounded enough to see it through to the fruit. You with me? Okay? Let me read to you something from Neville. Prayer is an art and requires practice. The first requirement is a controlled imagination. Parade and vain repetitions are foreign to prayer. That's like if you ever belong to another teaching, you know, remember the old way of doing things? And you just taught prayers and they were by rote. You know, you didn't necessarily have your heart in it. You weren't getting a great experience out of it unless you were very special and you pulled it out because it's there for you. But anything that we just do mindlessly will not deliver to us the goods. Its exercise requires tranquility and peace of mind. Use not vain repetitions, for prayer is done in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The ceremonies that are customarily used in prayer are merely superstitions and have been invented to give prayer an air of solemn. Thank you, solemnity. Whoever got that, thank you. Those who do practice the art of prayer are often ignorant of the laws that control it. That's why we study prayer here. The essence of prayer is faith, but faith must be permeated with understanding to be given that active quality which it does not possess when standing alone. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. There is something you have all heard, and to the ear of a religious scientist, someone who's been practicing this teaching, to someone who is looking to function in life from a place of high self-empowerment, this next phrase usually doesn't take kindly to you, and that is, I of myself can do nothing, that it is the Father within. Then normally we turn it around that says, I of my Father can do... what's the statement? Help me out. I'm having a brain thing. I of myself can do nothing. The Father within me does the work. So we turn it into, I of... Every time I turn away from the book. I of myself can do nothing. The Mother, Father, God does the work. So that's how we make it somewhat palatable, okay? We make it a little tasty there. But this is what I want you to understand what this means. This does not mean that you are not capable. This means the human limitation of you. This is your brain. This is your mind. Do that with me. Brain. Mind. Brain. Mind. When you think you have to think your way through life, you're doing it from here. There you can do nothing of yourself. When you want to do something, you must come from here to here. When you make that expansion, suddenly you are plugged in and fired up with all cylinders to have the word that you speak be acted upon. So the name of the talk today is something. Slow down and get busy creating. I remembered that. Slow down and get busy creating. It's slow down because I'm saying slow down. Be here. For 10 years, I've been teaching classes. For 10 years in my 100 class, I will always challenge the students at some point in that class to take a week, a few weeks, or a month to literally slow down. Any heavy, what do you call it, lead feet around here, driving? Did you ever try it when I told you guys to in class?
I did for five minutes.
The way you will exercise this and have a new experience to your place of power, number one, is literally to pull back the reins, slow down in your car. A couple days, exercise this. Slow down how you move in your house. Don't pick the phone up on the first ring. Thich Nhat Hanh says to do that. Before you pick it up, say a prayer. Wait for the second or third ring. You probably have caller ID anyway. Not like you're going to lose the call, right? Although now it's like, oh my God, if you don't pick up, where were you? Why didn't you call me back? Oh my God. Then you get a text. Please, I just called you. And then, you get a text that tells you to read the email because the email tells you that you just called. You're laughing, but you know that this is some of the things that happen, right? So Reverend Joel mentioned to this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to repeat it again. And I think it was Martin Luther King who was quoted, and I'm going to paraphrase, that the more I have to do in any given day, the longer I pray. When you want to produce, you must get still. When you're seeking success, you must get still. When you are seeking the change or the dream that Reverend Stephen is talking about, it has to come from a still place. So I want to prove my point really quick with a real quick exercise because we're running late today. Close your eyes just real quick, okay? Bring up that dream that you brought up before in the Dream Awake. Recall that dream. Recall it as vividly as you can. And if you want to, stretch it just a little bit more. Now, right at the center of that dream, right deeply at the center, there is a feeling. There is a feeling. For each of us, it's probably different. It might be a feeling of peace. It might be a feeling of joy. It might be a feeling of gratitude. But there is a single or a mostly focused feeling, a tone right there. Find that feeling. Now take a gigantic, exaggerated breath and breathe through that feeling. Breathe through it. Okay, open your eyes. What did you get? A couple people, what did you get? Joy. Peace.
Freedom.
Joy. A couple more? Anybody different? Love. What? Smile, relax, skipping. Power? Okay. That single feeling is, that is what you need to focus on. That is what you pray on. That is what you recall and you spend your time imagining. Because that tells me that that is the seed to your dream. However, we started with dream first. We went from the dream to the seed, and the seed is that feeling tone. Get to peace, get to calm, get to stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that my I am is God. Wherever my I am is, I am the bomb diggity, as Donald would say. Right, Donald? And as are you. But the seat and the seed of creativity is in that still point. Yes? And so it is. Okay. All right. Thank you. So while my musicians are moving into place, a couple funny things, or not one funny thing and one real thing. Stay conscious. That's your job. Stay conscious. Say that. Stay conscious. That's your job. When you're having a good moment, what do? Stay conscious. When you're having a rough moment, what do? Stay conscious. How do you stay conscious? By questioning yourself. Question your intent. Question your reaction. But stay conscious. And someone at conference said something really that I just totally love. And he said, "You are God. Now act like it." You know, we walk around, "Oh, I'm God. I'm God. I'm all that God is. I'm one with God." And then we go do stupid things, like beat ourselves up and criticize ourselves and find fault. Would God find fault with itself? I don't think so. You are God. Now act like it. Right? Isn't that great? I love that.